I had my first panic attack. I'd never had one before. I was unable to read books, listen to movies, watch movies for 2 years. I just got this back. I found out I was an NPE April 9th, 2019. It's been 5 years. And I've also been estranged from my mom for 5 years.
Hello, you are listening to NPE Stories. This is a podcast where NPEs can share their story. I am your host, Lily, and I found out I was an NPE through an ancestry DNA test that changed my life forever. NPE is a term that stands for not parent expected or non-paternal event. This means that one or more of our parents are not who we believe them to be. NPE Stories is a podcast where NPEs can share their story of what their original family was like, how they found out they were an NPE, and what their journey has been like since the day they found out. Welcome to episode 196, and this is the second part of a very long and emotional episode that I recorded with Don Anderson and Eve Sturgis and many other members of the Untangling Our Roots Summit. So here is the recorded audio. I will share first for 10 minutes, and then people come up after me and share on their own experience. Enjoy.
Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce, straight out of Minnesota, the woman everyone loves, Lily.
Hi, I'm Lily. Thank you, Don and Eve, for doing this with me. We're all podcasters. We're all NPEs. I know there are more than just NPEs in the audience. But I'm so lucky I get to do it with these two. We have a little group chat going. We've been friends for years. Me, I'm newer, a couple years now. So I'm just so lucky to be here at this summit. Got a little emotional this morning. Cried 3 times already today. So I'm feeling good. So format of my podcast, I only have 10 minutes. So I'll do family of origin, how I found out I was an NPE, and then I'll speak about my estrangement and my rejection from members of my family. My family of origin, I was raised by my mom and stepdad primarily. My mom married my stepdad when I was 4, so he was an important father figure in my life. He's a very loving, nurturing man. Thank God for him. My mom and dad, my birth certificate father, they struggled a little bit more on opposite sides. My mom is, she keeps to herself. I'm trying to be polite because this is recorded. And I did recently get burned by something that I recorded and a family member reached out to me. But I have to be truthful. I have to tell the truth, right? My mom needed a lot of alone time. She suffered from ailments, backaches, headaches. She needed to be in front of the TV. We needed to be quiet. I was a good girl. I was just a very good girl growing up. My dad, I saw every other weekend. He was irresponsible, fun, a hothead, volatile. I was scared to death of him, and I'm still really scared of him. All my parents are still alive. And I also have a sister. I was raised with a sister 3.5 years older than me. I've since found out I have more siblings, right? Because I'm an NPE. So how I found out I was an NPE, first I took a 23andMe test for the health biomarkers. Things weren't making sense, but I didn't put the pieces together. My sister had taken Ancestry, and she said, take the same company as me, same database. When I took my Ancestry results, the day I got my results was one of the worst days of my life. I'm 0 to 1% French, and I am very proud of my French heritage. How am I less than 1% French? My sister was showing up as 1,500 centimorgans. At the time, I didn't know what that meant. I had a man, Tim Conley, show up, also 1,500 centimorgans. I was looking at a half-brother relationship, but I don't have a brother. I called my sister and she said, well, look at all the aunties on the list. I said, none of the aunties, my dad's sisters, were showing up for me. But this Conley last name kept showing up over and over again. So I called my mom. I said, can I come over and talk with you about my confusing DNA results? She said, am I in trouble? I said, no, because I, at that moment, I firmly believed there was a good explanation for this. She's not in trouble at all. I went over there, and when I started to mention these things, her face got red. She had this defensive posture. She was filled with shame, I'm sure. And she said, in the 80s, her boss was Bill Connolly. And I said, are you saying dad's not my dad? And she said, oh, Lily, stop it. Your dad is still your dad. Dismissive, right? Immediately. And that was a theme for that week and the next week. I'm overreacting. My stepdad was in the room and he said, oh, you never thought, he was saying this to my mom, Vicky Jo, you never thought this would come back and bite you. And I realized and I found out they had discussed this in my childhood. They had suspicions that I was his other man's daughter. And that hurt more than anything because my stepdad, he was my safe person. He was nurturing. He was caring. He was there for me when I was sick. And he's also my mom's number one enabler, right? My mom can do no wrong in his eyes. Great husband to have, but that affected me, right, as the daughter, because it wasn't honest for me. My mom's behavior following that, I'll just say this. It was just the final straw in a whole life of me trying to keep this relationship together. I've always made myself very small, people pleaser, caretaker, good girl, overachiever, anything for just a little tiny bit of praise from my mom. And I was in so much pain after finding this out. Part of me, the pattern in me, still wanted to take care of her. And she was defensive and she was ashamed and I wanted to take care of her. But I thought, as a mom myself of three children, I'm in huge pain. This morning, I heard Marcy Keithley say, she was sucker punched in the gut and she dropped to her knees. And that's how I felt. I had my first panic attack. I'd never had one before. I was unable to read books, listen to movies, watch movies for 2 years. I just got this back. I found out I was an NPE April 9th, 2019. It's been 5 years. And I've also been estranged from my mom for 5 years. It's not something I'd wish for anyone. It's something I had to do for my mental health, my spiritual fitness, self-protection. The things she was saying to me were so inappropriate, wrong. They were rude. And they hurt. So I had to choose silence from her. I did, 3 years into my estrangement from my mom, I still had one form of communication open. She texted me on my 40th birthday, and I knew I was making the right choice when my text said, it's your birthday. I am so deeply hurt. I am in so much pain. Oh, and there's a family emergency, and your sister and your daughter, you know, your niece is in the hospital, and this and this. This pulling at my heartstrings because she knew I would want to jump and fix that crisis and be there for these people and feel bad for her. And it worked for a millisecond. And then I realized, who would do this to their daughter, right? My husband had taken work off. My three little kids were all dressed up, ready to take me to a private karaoke room. They put in so much effort into that day. And my mom was, I don't know what that was. It wasn't trying to instill joy for me, that's for sure. So that's the last time I received a text from her, and I've since blocked all forms of communication. And there's so much more, 40-some years that go into all of that as well, right? I found out my biological father is still alive. I contacted him, and the first email seemed promising. He wasn't crazy. I was worried he had raped my mom. He had not, right? It was consensual. It was a one-night stand on a business trip. My mom contacted him after I found out. And so from that first promising email to the second email with him, he completely changed. I'm not sure what my mother said to him. She'd had 37 years to contact him and tell him the truth that she had his daughter. Because it was also a surprise to him. He had no idea she had gotten pregnant. everything changed with him. He wrote me. He said, "I'm shocked you would throw your family under the bus like this. You need to mend ways with your mother before you contact me. My children follow my lead." He sounded very controlling. He scared me. He said he doesn't do shock and awe. So I'm the troublemaker. I'm now the scapegoat. It was really hurtful. He was very angry with me for reaching out to his two children. He has three children, right? I'm his daughter too. He was very angry with me for reaching out to his other two children. And after one phone call where I tried to get some more information, it was just too painful. I was like, how could he not love me, right? How could he not want to meet me? And what about his three grandchildren? I have three adorable kids, and I firmly believe one of my sons looks like him. So I've never met him. I've never met my new siblings. And it's sad. And at first, I thought he'd come around. I actually kept my podcast anonymous the first year because I thought, well, I don't want to do anything to upset him. He might come back around and want to meet me. But this is not just trying to be a sad story. I have found this community. I found the word NPE. I feel more empowered about the growth I'm going through, being more spiritually fit, and service work, right? So going to summits like these, listening to the podcasts, and going to the retreats, reading the books, that the content you guys put out there, the forums, the boards, whew, I feel so much better. But my time is up. And I realize you may not have an estrangement or rejection story, but please feel free to share. These are complex family systems. So thank you.
Thank you, Lily. So now, as she said, it's time for more sharing. Please remember to keep the focus on your story. When you hear the timer, you have 1 minute to wrap up. Who would like to go first?
Hi, I'm Laura Alegria. I'm an adoptee. And I do have an estrangement story, have a rejection story, and a reunion story. My estrangement is first and foremost from my adoptive family. It was really 40 years in the making, because I don't believe I ever should have been placed with them. I never fit there. I never belonged. I mothered myself. And until I found this community, I didn't have the strength to do it. I knew that's what I wanted, and I knew that's what I needed. But it was this community that really lifted me up and made me able to do that, along with my therapist. I am in reunion with my biological mother since 2008. I legally changed my name back to my birth name, Laura. She then re-adopted me back through adult adoption. And none of that could have happened if I wasn't estranged. The estrangement gave me the space to heal and grow even more. Getting to the point of estrangement was healing and growth. But then it opened up so much more space, because the emotional capacity that they were taking gave me no room for myself and to grow and be my authentic self. And so the estrangement gave me that. I am in also reunion with paternal side. I was initially rejected by my paternal biological father, but I found cousins and brother and sister. My father eventually came around, and I met him last June. He just passed in January. He was 93. And because I lived in that environment that I lived in with my adoptive family, the toxicity, I saw the red flags a lot faster within other people now. And I saw those within my biological brother. And I have since set boundaries with him as well, and I'm in no contact with him at this point too. It's hard. You start out thinking it's great, but it can go, you never know which way it's going to go. But for me, it had to be authentic and true, and it had to be my truth, and I had to do what was best for me after I had done so much work on healing. And so that's my hope and advice for everyone here who is on this path, that you are healing and that you find your authentic self. And I'm sending good vibes to Eve on your journey.
I'm going to cry. I'm Pam Gullens, and I'm an NPE, and I was conceived out of an affair. And the reason I wanted to get up and speak is because when I contacted my biological siblings, I was quickly dismissed. And when I went into it, I went into it with no expectations. I assumed they would not want a relationship, that they would not want anything to do with me, but I was hopeful that maybe they would give me some medical information or some pictures. And I had this attitude like, it doesn't hurt me because I didn't expect anything from them. But I've just found in the last 24 hours that I'm admitting to myself just how much it hurts to be rejected by them. So much more than I ever allowed. The history in my family, and I've spoken about it on Lily's podcast, I was sexually abused by my father. So I spent my whole life not feeling good enough, feeling different and separate from others. And I did so much work on that, so much work. So to find out that that man wasn't my biological father was a relief. But now I stand judged again, away from those people that could tell me about the man who gave me life. My happy reunion is this conference, is these people, it's this community, it's the Canadian NPEs that I get to be part of, the support calls and the book club that I do. Because when you can't find the family right, you build the family that you need and you build the community that you need. So thank you to everybody who was part of that.
Once again, I'm Alicia Williams, and I'm an LDA, a late discovery adoptee, who found out in 2019 at 53 that the only parents that I'd ever known my entire life were not my parents. I found out I was in union with my biological family. Everything was going wonderful. The rejection did not come from them. The rejection came from the woman who raised me. My mother is 96. Today she's 96. So she's always been old my entire life. She was old. So I truly believe that God puts people in our lives for a reason. And I'd come to pray and say, okay, God, she's old. What's the reason? Is she still here? And I was 2.5 years into union and reunion with people before I finally told my mother that I know. You know what? I know that I'm adopted. You're not adopted. The jig's up, Mom. I know that I'm adopted. I just have questions. Why would you let me go to therapy and have night terrors of being abandoned, taken? Why would you pay for that and not tell? Why would you let me tie my tubes because ectopic pregnancies were hereditary in our family? Why would you let me have a unilateral mastectomy because breast cancer was prevalent in our family? Why do you never remember my birthday? Why did you not come to my children's graduations? Why did you not come to my wedding? Oh, I get it. I wasn't really yours. It was nothing really to be invested into. Why did you not save a single thing from our father who loved me to death? Never did I not know a day in my life that he was not my daddy. Why did you not give me even a tie tag to remember him by? Her answer was, well, all that's water under the bridge now that you know. I guess my time is over. And that's where my rejection stays right now, as now I have to take care of her. And I'm going to take care of her better than she took care of me.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I've actually been on Eve and Lily's podcast. I'm a double NPE. I found out for the first time that my mom's husband, there's no father on my birth certificate. My mom's ex-husband was not my father. I found out when I was six. And at six, it was the best news I could have ever gotten. He was mean, and I was his favorite target. At 13, I decided to meet my real dad. I wrote a letter to my aunt. By the way, this was talk show 90s, talk show 80s. And there was, everybody had an episode about how bad it was to meet your parents on Donahue and Oprah and Geraldo, all of them that week. And I didn't tell anybody. And my aunt called and said, you have 24 hours to tell your mom. You'll meet your dad in 3 days. And I drove to the town I live in now and met him. 2 days later, I met his entire family, up to a second great-grandmother who was still alive and living on her own. Then I made the mistake. I got pregnant at 19 and not married, so he quit talking to me. The glass house thing was hard. His entire family quit talking to me. My mom still never said anything. My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015. Not only did she leave me my DNA mess, she left me 3 children that she had adopted that turned my life and my children's life and my husband's life upside down. 4 months to the day from date of diagnosis, we lost my mom. And then I got DNA results that proved she had lied the whole time. I met my dad. I had to call a 73-year-old man and ask him if he had had sex with my mom. That was a very awkward conversation. And I met him. We drove from New Mexico to Memphis, Tennessee to meet him 1.5 years ago. We're in sort of communication, but at 73, now 74, it's hard to meet that. And I don't have much relation with any siblings, raised siblings, or the 2 new siblings that are 10 and 8 years younger than me. And I lost the 1 sibling that I was close to because he's now no longer my brother.
So I wasn't here for the beginning, so I'm not exactly sure what the instructions were for what to say. But my name's Justin. I'm an adoptee, transracial adoptee. It was hard to hide. Both my sister, both my parents and my sister, who's their biological child, are white. I'm currently estranged from most of my family. When I was 26, I met my biological mother and father, actually at the same time. And currently, my biological father passed away about 13 years ago, or maybe a little less than that. And he was the one who I was closest with. And my biological mother was also adopted, and I don't think had ever really dealt with stuff from her adoption. And basically, problems with her led to me not being in contact with her either. About 5 years ago, 6 years ago, a series of events started that sort of led to my estrangement from my adoptive parents and also my sister by circumstance. The main event was my parents were supposed to come up and visit me with my sister. And we got into an argument where I was talking about some adoption-related things. And my mom said to me, it sounds like you're angry. Maybe we shouldn't come up. And this had sort of been always the way things were. If I was angry, we needed to wait. So I just called my parents on it and said, okay, I guess not. And that was the last time I talked to my parents, really. I texted with them a little bit, but really the final break was My middle son had a serious suicide attempt that put him in the ICU for about a week. And as an attempt of reconciling, we thought, oh, this is a good opportunity to reconnect and allow them an opportunity to be very selfless and show that they care about us. And it ended up not being that way. My wife, who's here supporting me, had an interaction with my mom where my mom gave her the same cold look that she would give me when she was upset with me. And that sort of ended it for me.
Hi, my name is Richard Wenzel. I'm going to talk about rejection, perhaps of a rejection of a kind, a different kind, and that's within the medical profession. I grew up in a small town. I had the same pediatrician for all my life, who was also my mother's obstetrician, and in many ways, my mother's unofficial psychologist. And when I was, I'm actually an NPE. I found out 4 years ago that the man who raised me was not my biological father. All the information I can gather, because unfortunately my mother passed away about 20 years, says that I am the product of a sexual assault. But anyway, I'm about 8 years old, 9 years old. I have two younger brothers. My mother's pregnant again with a child to this day. I don't know whether this child was my father, was the man who raised me, my birth certificate father, was a genetic father. Anyway, long story short, I used to go with my mother to the her appointments with this physician. And actually, they, working together in cahoots, decided they were going to place this child for adoption. And I can distinctly remember lots of crying, lots of yelling. And I can remember him telling her, Chris, my mother was Chris, you just have to forget this baby. It's just, you got to move on. You got to think about the boys. The boys were myself and my two younger brothers that we already have. You just got to forget the child. And I was only, you know, whatever, 9 years old, but I thought that was very strange for a physician to say, forget about the child you gave birth to. Fast forward a couple of years, I have kidney disease. I had it as a child. I still have it now. I was admitted to the hospital for some tests. And he was there. My mother was there when they brought in a special kidney doctor known as a nephrologist. And I remember the nephrologist was asking all these questions, asked family history questions. And then the pediatrician said, Dad's information is unavailable. And at that moment, I thought what he meant was my father wasn't in the room, because he wasn't. I'm sure he was at work. And I was thinking, no, just wait an hour or two. He'll be here to visit me. And I do remember looking at my mother, who had a very strange look, and I'm screaming inside my head, you know, Mom, tell them. They can call Dad later and get answers to these questions. So then my pediatrician said, Dad's information is unavailable. Fast forward a few more years. I'm 16 or 17. It was the last time I went to see him. I drove there myself, the one and only time I ever saw him by myself. A lot of my friends at that time were growing beards and mustaches, and that impressed all the teenage girls, and I wanted to impress the teenage girls, but I can't even to this day grow a mustache for my life. The other problem was my younger brother, who was definitely my raising father's genetic child, he was growing a mustache, which made it even worse. And I asked the pediatrician, I had to build up this, because he was a imposing, godlike, the stereotypical god physician from the 70s and 80s, so I was very nervous, and finally I asked him, I said, can I ask a question? Why can't I grow a beard like my dad? And he, for the only time that I could ever remember, shut up. And he looked at me for a long time and he goes, well, you and your dad are just different. And I wish today, because I was just a scared teenager, I didn't ask a follow-up question like, how are we different? I didn't ask, I just shut up. But it makes me mad. So now I'm on this personal quest. You can look at my poster that's hanging up in the hallway here to get healthcare professionals to do a much better job than what they've done over the last 50 years. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Diana Kayla Hochberg. I found out in 1993 my husband had passed away. My kids were little. My mother had passed away, the mother I knew, MRM, when I was 10, and my father at 25, my husband was 36. I go to Las Vegas, go out to lunch with my father's friend, and he says to me, you've had so much loss. Let me help you find your parents. That was the beginning of my search. Fast forward, he connects with a man in Montreal, Canada, where I was born, and I was sold through the black market, Montreal, to an American Orthodox Jewish family. They thought they were getting a Jewish baby. Anyway, fast forward, you know, when I did my DNA, my son says to me, you made me get bar mitzvahed. Is there anything? I said, well, you got 8%. I got a little something. Anyway, so I thought it would come back. I'm Italian, Italian, Italian. I mean, look, I'm Italian. I'm 14% Irish, but I am Italian. And my reunion story is I am reunion with both maternal and paternal cousins. I have found out who my father was after I did a DNA test. I just found out recently, and I've written a book, and it's not out yet. It's with a publisher. Unfortunately, I found out that I have siblings, and I say unfortunately, because one wants to kill me, and the other one says, oh, I don't have time. I already have a family. Besides, you're old enough to be my mother. My father was 56 when he had his first child to a woman he married. He didn't marry till he was 56 years old. I was born in 1955. He had an affair with my mother in Vancouver for quite some time, I found out. And so I do have siblings. So the sad part of the reunion is there'll be no reunion with the siblings right here in Denver. I am going Monday night to the restaurant because I also found out my father was the head of organized crime. So we'll leave it like that. There's more. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That helped.
Okay, who else wants to share? Come on up, my friend that I interviewed yesterday, Denise.
Thank you. Hi, I wasn't going to get up, but I'm here. My heart is racing. I'm an NPE, and I'm also, I was adopted from birth. But being adopted is not the traumatic thing I wanted to share. It's finding out just less than a year ago about my NPE, and I'll just skip a lot of what I was going to say, but I just wanted to say that I can relate to a lot of your stories. Just little parts of them just apply to me. I think it was Amy who said when she looks in the mirror, she sees somebody who looks like her or something to that effect. And this gentleman here talked about, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but I have a son who has severe depression and I worry a lot. He's going to attempt suicide. And I just think those two things just really resonated with me. But what Amy said is, so I did meet my 99% positive bio father. He is almost 80. He does not want to continue to have contact with me. And his three sons, they don't want to have contact with me. And, you know, his family, not him, but his family is on social media and they say, oh, we're a big Christian family. And I just find that to be a little bit hypocritical because none of them want to have anything to do with me. But I think what hurts the most is when I look in the mirror, I see his face. And I see the face of the man who doesn't want to have anything to do with me. So it's very difficult. I look like my birth mother, but I also look like him. And he doesn't want me to be in his life. But thank you for listening.
I have a poem I wrote last year for NPEs and the rest of our community that I'd like to share. It's called Take Us Back to Yesterday. Take us back to yesterday before our world fell apart, when life was a chaotic normal before the pain of a broken heart. We know our lives weren't perfect, but we knew from where we came, at least we thought we did. Now nothing is the same. Take us back to yesterday. This heartache is hard to shake. Sometimes the feeling we have inside is more than we can take. We never knew such sorrow, something we can't explain. We feel if we could rip our heart out, it would take away the pain. There's one given truth we know about our mother, but no one else can know the pain finding out your father is another. So we struggle to understand, and we fight a little longer. Please take us back to yesterday when we felt a little stronger. Take us all back to yesterday when ignorance was bliss, trying to regain our sanity because none of us asked for this.
That was powerful. Thanks for sharing that. Gigi, do you want to share? I'm going to put you on the spot, but...
Now that I'm all teared up already.
Yeah, this is a good time.
My name's Gigi. I'm from Canada. I found out I was an NPE through an ancestry DNA test, like all of you, or most of you. And it was the last thing I expected, because when I found out that my sister was my half-sister, we compared our DNA matches, and she was my dad's daughter, and I was not, which meant we had the same mother, which is what we would have expected. But all through our years of growing up, my mom had bad-mouthed my dad because he was having extramarital affairs. He was cheating all over the place. And she told us this when we were kids. And so I really would have expected to find half-siblings through my dad's side. But to find out that my sister was my half-sibling and she was his and I was not meant that my mother had also been the one who had been cheating. And when I talked to her, she admitted it. She said, yeah, it was a one-night stand. They had been married for 9 years and hadn't had a kid. And she was lonely. And I get it. She was lonely. And he was fooling around, and she thought she would fool around. And it wasn't just the guy who turned out to be my bio dad. It was other guys. But she was also a really strong Catholic. And so for me, finding out I was an NPE was like shattering that my dad's not my dad, but also shattering because my mom is not the woman I thought she was. She is somebody I don't even know. I don't even recognize her. And she's 91. Her birthday was yesterday. And I don't know how to talk to her anymore. I don't know what to say. And it hurts. And I try, but it's like there's this barrier between us. And that's what really hurts, because I was so close to her. And she, this has hit me out of the blue. And just trying to work through that, knowing she doesn't have a lot of years left, and not wanting her to go without this between us. And that is the hardest thing. Thank you.
I just really want to address these three people. When I found out a year and a half ago, you know, you Google, my dad's not my dad. What does that mean? Lily was my first podcast. I walk my dog every day, obsessively listen. I probably listened your whole, like a week, maybe. And then I found Eve, listened to all of hers. Actually did an episode with Eve, and then I found Dawn, who makes me cry. To say that these three people saved my life is not an understatement. I haven't found a therapist that really I've resonated with. I've tried a couple. I've done Eve's writing class, which has equally saved my life. And I know you guys hear this, but the gifts you've given back to all of us, I don't know that you'll truly understand when you're thinking you're the only person and you're listening to a podcast. I listen to Kelly, and you hear how much other people experience this, and you hear how they deal with it, and then you hear moms who lie and BCFs and sisters, all these different things, and you listen to it and you absorb it and it helps you heal. I really want these three people, and there's more podcasters out there, to understand that you are literally saving people's lives. And we really appreciate you. Thank you.
You know, I want to say that I was the same way. I discovered same exact thing. I Googled, dad's not my dad, and somehow that led me to Lily's podcast. And I walked around my neighborhood every morning, and I'm sure the neighbors were like, there goes that guy that cries all the time. And I remember so specifically the where I was exactly. I was listening to one of Eve's episode, and I was in on a job in Hawaii, and I was on this walk and listening and just bawling. And I got back to the hotel and just sat on the balcony. It was raining like it does often in Hawaii. But it was just, it was crying and sad, but it was just healing, healing. And just thank you guys so much. This idea to do this, we had no idea if it was going to fucking work or not. But I just want to tell you guys that thank you so much for participating. It is exactly what I hoped it would be. Just people caring and sharing. And, you know, thank you all for being here. And let's give a big hand to these two. And I'll remember to hit record next time.
These stories are here for us to identify with. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, email npestories@gmail.com. You do not have to give any identifying information. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, I'd like to hear from you. Subscribe to this podcast to hear more. Come heal with us.